You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. It's me, Ironman triathlete, Patrick Kinlan.
I'm Bob.
I'm Patch Trainer, Tom Sheehan.
Sorry, I'm looking at a YouTube thumbnail for John Joseph that just says musician, author, Ironman triathlete. And it's got him in that goddamn bike outfit. But
his Mega Man villain outfit.
All respect to John Joseph, who could fucking ball me up and put me in his ass. He's such a strong fucking guy. All respect in the world, but it's such a goofy outfit. Every time I see this thing, all wear I laugh.
Tom, I want to know, you got, what's the move? How do we make that outfit better? Would it be better if they weren't shorts, if they were like long leggings?
A full body suit? No. Maybe. The hat's a little dorky, like the helmet's dorky, but it's meant to be aerodynamic. But you look like an alien.
Yep. Yes. You know what I mean? The sunglasses don't help, but again, I see the functionality. Like, there's a lot of function over fashion there.
I mean, and it's got to be tight so it's aerodynamic, but it's like, yo, I can see you meeting two veg, like, real clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really need you bulge.
Seeing a lot.
You know what I mean? And I get it. Maybe he's wearing a cup. Some kind of athletic supporter. Mm. Maybe that's where he keeps a cucumber there for, like, you know, because he's plant based. Who knows?
I'm with it now. In my head canon, that's what's going on. We got the cuke.
Maybe he had weird reaction to not getting the COVID-19 virus. I mean, or the vaccine. Who knows?
True.
I know that he comes up on this podcast in all different fashions, sometimes not wholesale positive, you know, but here's one thing I'm never taken away from this guy. It is cool to be fit post 50. That is fucking cool.
Yo, he might be in better shape now than he was in his 30s.
He was living. Living the street life, you know what I mean. He was an addict. I mean, he still is, but like, you know, like at the time he was using and stuff. That was like, you know,
and like, yeah, like I think all three of us would be like, yo, if in 15 years I'm in better shape than I am now.
I mean, if I'm not, I'll be dead.
Feeling good.
That'd be cool. No, but with that dude, like he, you know, I mean, for all the slings and I mean, he deserves a lot of the fucking slings and barbs that we aim at him,
sure,
because some of the stuff he says is just so out of bounds that it's like, yo, man. Just because I think it also because it brings people out of the woodwork. You're like, oh, you too. Like, this isn't just one dude yelling into the void. It's like other people that we know, people that we highly respect. They're like, their likes are the first things that pop up, and I'm like, no.
Yo, do you think sometimes those likes, because I'll keep going, but do you think sometimes those likes are like the auto like? Like, oh, this is somebody I like. I'm not even going to read this. I'm just double tapping.
But I don't think so.
I hope.
He did the New York Ironman with a buddy of mine. And like he played like so like when he ran past like my buddy or he's running with my buddy, they were like, Cro-Mag's Army. Like he yelled at him. And he's like, yo, they literally played This Is Hardcore Friday night, whatever the fuck it was, Saturday night, whatever. They drove back to New York, dropped him off, and then he did a fucking Ironman. Mm. Like, I don't know a 24-year-old that could pull that off. It was the year that Suicidal played, I think. It was Cro-Mag Suicidal at This Is Hardcore. Like, he literally, like, by the time, you know, wrapped up the whole fucking thing, got paid, cleared up the merch, all the shit, like for when my buddy did it, I forget when you have to show. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and you have to like place your stuff places.
So let's say he maybe shut his eyes on the ride back to New York from Philly.
Nice 90 minutes nap.
Maximum that dude's getting like 4 or 5 hours sleep before this.
Right. You got to drop your bike off. Off your swimming gear. You wear your swimming gear because I think that's first.
That's right. Jesus, man. Yeah. Well, I've only had one personal interaction with the dude, and he was very, very kind to me. And he instigated, and he was a cool dude about it. So shout out to John Joseph. Kind of, we're not always there with you, but it makes me think of that Walter Schreifel song about rabies, which I thought was cool because it's like this really touching, like emotional tribute to rabies. But one of the main lines in the chorus is, "Not everybody liked him all the time."
Human.
Yo, that's fucking real.
That's humanity.
Yeah, this is on my mind a lot lately because you guys know me. I don't have very many problems with very many people at all. And there's like somebody that I just happen to have a problem with at this moment is close, apparently very close, with somebody that I like and respect. And I don't know that other person very well, but it's going to be an awkward conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be weird. And I've been thinking a great deal about this, like this web of community that exists here where, like, you know, it can get really messy when people got certain affiliations. It's, you know, people don't like to see their friend get slapped or whatever it is. And I think we all feel that, but like it can get really messy and you have to have these conversations that you don't want to have about people that other people value and in the same way that I value my friends, you know what I'm saying? We are placed in this situation less often than you'd think. And I think we're all three of us are grateful for that, but it still happens.
Yeah. And anytime it happens, I feel like, what the F am I doing in my life? Let's quick pause there because I want to talk about that. That seems like something good to talk about, but without getting too heavy. Guys, this is 2021. We're breezy to enter the year.
Love a breeze.
Yeah,
please.
We're on our Lionel Richie shit here. We want to shout out our continued partners, our friends, our allies, our sponsors, Closed Casket Activities.
Boom.
Thank you. I always do a subtle pause and wait because when Tom hits it with those things,
Do you want me to bring it back for 2021? I can do it.
I love it. Let's do it. Let's start.
Because I've gotten mixed messages from our listeners. Some people are like, Tom doesn't do the horn anymore. And then some people are like, I wish he would stop doing that. I have a better mic though now.
You can't please them all, Tom. Can't please them all.
Yeah, and you know what? You go with your heart. Whatever, if you feel it in the moment, we go. And if you don't, it's all good. To live a lie. Death wishing. And run for cover.
I'm gonna learn like whatever like the state songs are for like North Carolina, New York, Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts.
You know what I mean?
I like it. Yeah, and you'll have to do variants. Maybe you'll do a harder version of the Massachusetts one for Death Wish and a more like catchy one for the Run for Cover.
Right.
One.
And they, you know, I can do like their states like, brr, 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 like and shoulders, knees and toes, whatever it is, you know. Yeah.
Knees and toes. I love it. Thank you to them. Thank you to y'all because you guys also support our sponsors and we know it. We hear that from them. Usually you let them know that you're coming there from us by Tom entering a promo code, which
Extra
is
Grind.
And Patrick, when you have to put a promo code in that little box, what do you have to do with it?
It's important that you spell it out.
That's right. One other thing that we kind of collectively, this is an interesting time. We often get asked by people, how do you keep up with releases? How do you keep up with new stuff that's coming out? There's an easy answer, but I also want to address this because this is the time to kind of make cool habits, change your rhythms a little bit. If for some reason you're not following these four labels on Instagram, I encourage you to do so. If you do not have an Instagram, I'm not going to shill for fucking Instagram, but you don't need to get involved with Instagram beyond, yo, like having a blind dummy account that you use to follow record labels, sports accounts. When, yeah, any stupid shit you have, you, nobody's telling you you got to post your shit up there. Who cares? You can stay in the loop. So we're telling you, go follow these labels. Closed Casket Activities, at Closed Casket Activities.
Thanks.
Nice and easy. They may or may not have some stuff dropping pretty soon that I'm pretty sure a lot of people will be interested in. At To Live a Lie. That one's super easy. Patrick could spell that one. Spell that one out for us, PK.
Fun. Yeah, this is going to be tough. TOLIVEALIE.
Beautiful. The 518 school systems surprise us once again. Not only does To Live Will and To Live a Lie post cool stuff, you get to see a little background and behind the scenes. For example, this dude does all his own coding and SQL, all that kind of stuff on his site. Like, that's DIY as it gets. That's fucking impressive. And I've found out about stuff both being released on To Live a Lie and that he distributes that I have fallen in love with. So definitely follow that.
Easiest way to find out, too. Stuff gets lost on Twitter.
Easy. Yes, and honestly, not everyone's on Twitter because it is a massive thing. Instagram, you get a little visual too. It's kind of nice. You see teasers sometimes. It's really nice. Tom, this one I think you'll know. Our friends in Beverly, Mass, right near Salem, Deathwish Inc., they're at
is... I'm going to get you. It's Deathwish Inc.
That's right.
I follow them.
Deathwish Inc. Again, great follow too, because you get to see a lot of different artwork. They have tons of different stuff in their store, a lot of prints, a lot of different things. They do some good stuff with the stories.
Yep.
Worth following.
I do good a screenshot, follow. And that's how I make my shopping list.
Oh, say, yo, that is also, you want to stay up with stuff. When you see some shit you like, screenshot it. It's how I keep track of finding new music, finding new stuff I want to order, both in and out of hardcore. Like, yo, that was how I did a good job with Christmas presents this year. Screenshots. Live it. Patrick, your current label home primary for Self-Defense Family, Run for Cover Records. Their ad is quite simple. At Run for Cover. Pretty good, right?
That is pretty good. It's great anytime that you can get just the actual thing without any addendums or anything like that.
Or abbreviations. Like, I think their Twitter might be an RFC or something like that. It's like, it can be a pain in the ass. At Run for Cover. Again, they're kind of like To Live a Lie in that I think you get to see some stuff. They actually do some funny content too, which is nice. And like I said about To Live a Lie, I found stuff that they didn't release, but they're distributing that I, again, fell in love with. I was like, whoa, this is really good. So go support them. Throw them some follows. It's a weird request this week, but I think a good one. And it also helps answer a question that people ask. How do I find out? How do I keep up with stuff? Well, the first thing, you listen to Action Grind. We do our best to help with that. But this is a cool way too. And they also might lead you to other things you want to follow. So that's social media at its best. We talk about social media at its worst a lot. This is a good thing to follow it for. Guys, to kind of unwind here and finish with our sponsors, thank you guys. What is your most unexpected but enjoyable Instagram follow?
Ooh.
So, you know, People of New York?
Yes.
There is a different one called Bots of New York, and it is like a parody of that, where it's just got obviously composite made faces attached to photos of people, and then pretty much like what feels like algorithm created text below them.
Yes.
Or as the caption. And it's very funny to me. Like, very, very funny. I don't know what the purpose of it is, why somebody would keep it going for a long time, but it's very funny.
At Bots of New York?
Bots of New York.
Okay. All right. Tom, do you have one?
I'm trying to see.
Sometimes I put people on spot with these, so yeah. I apologize. I'm currently going through mine too. I've got a few because I want to do. Let's see, because I don't want to do a person per se, but it's, you know what? I'll give one person and then do one of the accounts. I follow Jason Tarpey, the singer of Iron Age and also the band Eternal Champion. If you follow Cyclopean Steel, he is a metal forger, and it's awesome. It's awesome. You get to see him make hammering metal, making swords and knives and everything. I strong follow because not only does he do cool stuff with music, has a really cool job. So, yeah, Cyclopean Steel.
I follow him.
Yeah, good follow. All right. You got another?
You know what I kind of like? I mean, this is going to sound really fucking hokey, but I mean, the meme accounts are great and all that sort of stuff. My favorite current follow is the Anza Borrego Foundation. Oh, so I'm a sucker for like the national parks and shit. Mm-hmm. That's any of those are great, but it's the Anza Borrego one just has pictures from like the area. And I think I talked about it about that spot on the podcast before. It's like it's a dark sky community. So there's like no light pollution. So like you can just go out and like with the naked eye, see like the milk, like it's insane. It's incredible. I like the nature-y stuff since I live I live in Queens and there's not a lot of nature.
And the other one I'll shout out is Cheap Nordic Houses.
Oh, I fuck with those too. Which, like cheap old houses. You can live in Bloomington, Indiana for $42,000. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
There's some of these homes in Sweden that it's like, oh, here's a completely redone, four bedroom, 100-year-old house, but it's been totally redone, all new, everything. The equivalent of $23,000. I know. So shout out to the accounts we follow.
I read you guys are getting some big restaurant in brick.
Oh yeah, what are we getting? It's a fucking another.
No,
Chili's?
It's something along those. Apparently, I just saw it popped up somewhere, and it was like, it's like not. It's not the Cheesecake Factory, but it's something Cheesecake Factory or whatever the fuck. But it's from like northern.
No, come on, they're getting an off-brand pretty much cheesecake. What's going on?
I wish I remembered the name of it. And I was like, oh shit.
I mean, this is a good prank I play on Amanda. Is that? Let me finish chewing this pierogi. Here it is, I think. So it's like a joke to her that whenever my mom comes over, that I have at least one or two extensive conversations about the new happenings at the grocery stores or at the strip malls in town.
Mm.
So she pointed this out. I'm like, oh yeah, well, she used to work for the town, so she always had the dirt. And I'm like, what's going to be the new thing? What's going into where there used to be a Kohl's? Oh, you know, that's going to be a Burlington, you know, like, so she had all the juice. And so then when she noted this, what do you do when someone identifies a bit? You lean in.
Oh yeah.
So now anytime my mom comes over or I've seen her, and it's this year I've seen my mom probably four times despite living, very close, less than 2 miles. I have very long conversations about the grocery store. Oh, the parking. Did you see what they're doing? Do you know what they got going on? Do you know about the new Dunkin' Donuts that's going in? And always look at Amanda, and she's always like, she knows what I'm doing. So I can't find any information. If you get any more cheese,
it was like something like, it's Northern New Jersey's best cheesecake.
Oh, interesting. Okay. There's a new, it's a bit, but I also am dyed in the wool on it. There's a new, like, kind of Italian grocery store going into the old Pathmark on Route 88. And that's been a long time coming, but it's apparently from North Jersey, specialty, full-size grocery store, but it's supposed to have a pretty extensive bakery. I wonder if that's what it is. Nice. I like it. Yeah, we can. We'll do another segment of this. Mulberry Street is the Italian market.
I just saw that. And I was no, that's not it. Pretty on the nose.
No, that's not it. It's going to be something else. Anyways, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to get breezy. We're going to be chilling, talking about cool stuff. We were good. I actually, our year in hardcore 2020, like our year end lists, we didn't go too heavy. We didn't have to fart around about like how dire things were and like da da da. Mostly because I think actually a bunch of bands stepped up to the plate and put out cool records, you know? Did we miss anything, guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did. I know.
Not like in the way where people are like, you missed a record from 1995, but like things that were like, oh shit, after we did our list, like, oh yeah, I also like that.
Yeah, I mean, full transparency on my end, when I was like putting together my list is when I found out about Rich McLaughlin. So I was kind of like not totally, my head wasn't totally fucking in the game. So I mean, that was like, for me, that was one of the reasons I was like, oh shit, why the fuck did I name, like, oh man, you know. I feel like I missed personally Fiona Apple's record. It was one of my favorite records of the year, even though it's not a hardcore record.
Yo, and you shouted that out in the chat like days before.
Dumb. Too. I don't know what happened. I mean, I know what happened. I was just like, it's fucking okay. Zoned out.
Yeah.
We missed the Narrowhead record, I think is really great, and we forgot that.
Yep. Also a fan.
You know, and we missed, well, I missed, I haven't checked it out yet, full transparency, but from something that, like, I missed both it by not checking it out yet and by not including it, the Eternal Champion record.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. It's
on everything.
I really like it. I think it's, yeah, that one, they might have stepped it up from their first LP. I think that Life's Question record,
very good.
We can kind of, we might have a mulligan on that because I think some of that material was actually originally released in 2019. So, you know,
that was released like four times, I think.
Yeah, yes, it was. I really like this Belgian band Partisan, X Rise and Fall. It's called Savage Peace. I think that's an awesome post-punk record, like awesome, awesome. And everybody should check that out. Also from that camp, the Blind of Faith, Unstoppable War record. Like, it's like, If you wanted to kind of follow into, like, yo, Belgium always had a lot of that kind of stuff. Coming out of Rise and Fall, you can go into the Oathbreaker stuff, Amon Ra. But then Blind of Faith, like, they just keep it blistering hard and heavy and fast. And, like if you're like, man, I wish Rise and Fall was just a little more metal-tinged, boom, Blind of Faith.
Mm.
Yeah, but, like, I want to shout out everybody. We got a really positive reaction about that. Got to see a lot of people's lists. That's cool. You know, like, really enjoyed it. And so that kind of brings us to the general roundabout of what we're going to talk about this year. This episode. What's 2021 going to be like?
Well, the question is, what is the rush on releasing records going to be? Nobody wants to be forgotten. Right. So I really urge smaller bands, as we've talked about on a couple episodes, if you're small, release your record today. Not today. Actually, wait 1 week from now. Release it. You're a small band. You're not going to be making anybody's best of lists anyway. And that's also not why you do that. It's better to... Yeah, it's better to get a lot of listens, a lot of people interested in you. Fuck the best of lists from anybody because, the three of us can – we did our best to go back all the way to the beginning of the year. And it's tough. It's still hard. Yeah, you still miss shit because years are longer than you think.
Yep.
So release your shit today, everybody, because –
That's my question. Do you think there's like even more than it already is that there's going to be like an inundation of, you know, now like if they go like, all right, the prognosticators like, we got three more months of this shit and then it's going to be fucking, everything's going to open. Do you think there's going to be every band in the world is going to finally send their record to press and then it's going to be like, well, like it's going to be record store day level fucking craziness? Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
I think it's going to be not far off because, like, look at it this way. Right now, labels are already sitting, like, things that are done. Like, let's take the drug church record, right?
It's done?
I think there's 14 songs that are done. That was supposed to be split across two releases. Dropbox. Now we don't know. We're still trying to make a decision on that right now.
You still keep ignoring me, bitch.
Yo, I'm going to be honest. I don't have any of the songs.
He's not allowed to, Tom. You know what I mean?
No, it's just, look, I just, I'm not, whatever. I understand my relationship with my own music is weird for a lot of people. I just don't have any.
You don't want to hear songs?
But, no, I think they're quite good, actually. But
how do you know?
The way that it works is typically when a release comes out of mine, I listen to
incinerate it
on and off for about 10 days. And then I might not listen to it again. You know what I mean? Like for a year. I'm always trying to think of the next thing. You know what I mean? Like I'm never, I don't spend a lot of time. Like
I'm just different. I'm just built different.
I mean, maybe I don't need the 2000. I only need the 600 because I'm built different.
We do need the 2000 though. We definitely need
everyone needs the 2000.
Tom, you know what?
I have a question for
you too. Okay. In my experience with Patrick, if he has the files, it's more likely that he has questions about it than the reverse. If he doesn't have the links, he's feeling good. He's like, yeah, this shit's good. We're good. I'm done.
Right. And the next time you'll hear it is when it's like mastered and like ready to be released.
Tom, a quick thing, because I'll send it to you. But we'll not mention what it is. I have something that Patrick wants to hear that I was like, yo, send it, send this thing, the Self Defense Live record, to me in exchange for this. And he was like, oh, yeah, all right. And I never got the link.
All right. So, I mean, I already sent you the Colossus record. So it's a fair trade.
Yeah, it is a fair trade.
It's all good.
Listen, if I ever get this, if I ever get a new link, I'll. It's not like I'm withholding.
We just want to support you. You're so aloof on everything that you're like you could have you could have like a box of LPs in your house and be like, oh hey,
oh shit, it's done. He's just built. He's just built different.
Just different, man. You're in her DMs. I'm in a Google Drive that might have my songs in it. I don't know. We're different, you know. So, to answer your the larger question. Which by the way, interesting conversation with a mutual friend of some of ours who is singing in a band for the first time, called me today and said, is it weird hearing your voice? And I said, well, not anymore, but yeah, it certainly is weird. I think for every vocalist to hear their voice. And he said, do you ever sit with it and think, is this good? I can't
every day
tell.
In my life.
I said, welcome to being a vocalist. 100%. Life, yeah, exactly. I said, here's what I said. I said, after years of doing this, I can now recognize when I did something well. You know what I mean? But it took a long time.
I can only recognize when I did something shitty.
Yeah, well, see, but I think maybe we're in a different mode because I'm probably operating on the idea that I'm always doing it a little shitty. You know what I mean? So like when I hit something and I'm like, ooh, that's a note. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know that. That's a note.
I hear like, fuck, I didn't like that placement and it's too late now kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, a bad placement will haunt you for the rest of your life. But so anyway, back to the question, which is, do I think there's a glut? Okay, so all those movies just went out to HBO. Right, as part of they were announced that they're going to be streaming on HBO now instead of going to theaters.
I mean, I still can't believe it.
Well, going to the theater and streaming on HBO Max.
Right, can't believe they have a fucking H. Aguaro fucking t-shirt. I'm sorry.
he cleared that up sort
not
of.
Well at all.
Anyway,
you think it was released in 1984? I know it was released in 1986. We're just different.
Yeah,
Prabhupada, so, it was cool,
the
man.
The point is, people were asking, hey, why wouldn't they just release these when theaters come back? You know, it's just it'll probably be another year. And that's, you know, on its surface of it, if you think that money and interest and things of that don't exist, then that's a pretty valid question. But if you just take time to think about it for a second, you borrow money to make expensive things.
That's what like an executive producer is for, typically, right?
Yeah. And typically when you borrow money, like let's say I go to like a sheik, right? And as some films do, and say, hey, you're rich. Do you want a producer credit on this? And they go, yeah, I'll give you X amount of money. That's one way to do it. You can also borrow against what you have, which involves things like professional lending institutions. And interest exists right. on these things. You know what I mean? And if you're sitting on a product, I mean, Bob, you know this from all facets of manufacturing that you've worked yes. in, whether it's at a record label or shirts or anything else. Mm. And to our esteemed sponsors who have, you know, God bless them. They all have mail order because sitting on product is killing you every moment that it is there. Now, there's a tipping point where it's not harming you if you don't need that space and you made your money on it. It's going to sit there and it'll move a little bit and it's not harming you. But as soon as you need that space, that's all liability,
right?
So it's all bad. So, but that's the way that it works with a lot of things that you have to put up real money for, like comic books, anything that has like a release schedule. So sorry, I'm probably saying something very basic, but I think a lot of people miss it.
Worth hearing.
So a lot of this, a lot of the labels that have put money, and shout out to Pure Noise, by the way, because Pure Noise has financed two Drug Church records that we then said, no, we do not want to release these anytime soon. And, so shout out to them for sitting on a balance. You know what I mean? They're sitting on, like, hey, this is money that was out. It's not coming back in because you refuse to put it out. And so we appreciate them doing that, but it's like not every label can afford that. Not every band can afford that with their relationship with their label, because it could potentially strain that. It's, I think that there's going to be a real push that you're going to have labels talking to managers who are talking to agents saying, hey, do we think that business is going to be back full time by September? Okay, then let's release everything that we got in fucking July.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, let's give people time to sit on it, be excited for the shows. You don't got to be on the road the first day that you release a record anymore, but it might all hit around the same time, which if I had to guess, and I'm no industry insider, I just am in bands. If I had to guess, it's going to be early midsummer ish. There's yes. going to be a massive drop of like anything that hopes to tour in the fall is going to push everything out at that point to try to balance between, hey, we've been sitting on this for an awful long time. We need to see some return, at least on streaming and merch. And then also, hey, this isn't too much time ahead of when you tour. So it'll work out.
Do you think that'll be telling either way?
That's what I expect. I mean, I can tell, like I said this at the end of like a 4-hour episode, so I don't know if people got it, but I can tell
dropping jewels.
People that I'm bars. Dropping jewels over here that bands are getting what are considered serious offers now for the early fall.
Yes.
Do you think that's just hope?
So no. So
that's based on
it's belief that there's going to be enough. There's going to be it's a weird thing, and we won't get heavy on this, but we can do this right by being light too. There's enough belief that enough people will have been vaccinated, or this will be contained
right.
enough. Just kind of leave it there by August, that end of September, October, people are going to be okay with going to events. Some of that might just be hopeful, but that is, you know, this is a, without sugarcoating anything, this is also an industry for, this is a whole network of things. You know, how many venues have we seen closed over this break? How many people who booked bands have gone and gotten jobs fucking in a call center? How many people had to look to different means? Those people are all working and looking at this in a really serious way, and it seems like that will track. Now, that's going to be scalable because it's going to be different. You know, like, will there be a weird comfort level? Will there not? Will there be an overwhelming excitement that overrides anybody's lingering fears? Probably, you know, and that's kind of the gambit that's being made. But also, Patrick, it's going to be a year since you played a show in about a month.
Mm.
That's probably the longest you've gone without playing a show in 15 years, correct?
Easily, yeah.
Wow.
Like, not even close. Right. Are you anxious to get back to doing this thing that you love?
Yeah, actually I am. I've been joking about, like, every musician that has prospered in some small way during this time. I've joked about pushing this off a little bit longer because being a musician, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I don't think anybody would accuse me of being so. And it can be really difficult to keep your books balanced if you are always out and also trying to have an adult life. In fact, for many people, it's really impossible. It's been a real challenge for me. And not to be like totally depressing here, but I would say even post 30, you got to consider that you don't want to die eating cat food on a park bench. You know what I mean? So it's just wise to try to look towards the future in some respect. It doesn't got to be anything typical. Like, you know, I got no desire to have children. Like, in a lot of ways, I still have an atypical life. But when you see somebody die in poverty for the first time, it really shakes you. So you kind of want to prepare for the future in some respect, whatever that means for you. And for many musicians who are in my position, which is, in essence, I'm a career musician who will never make career money. That's a life of pain if you are not willing to work harder to have multiple income streams and revenue streams and shit like that. So it's, you know, not to get heavy on our listeners, but for me, this year's been great in some respects because I have several ways that money is coming in. Now, to be honest, now that these are set up in some respects, if I toured and had a really good year,
you could be in a really good place.
I'd be like an adult, you know? So that's the thing.
The things that you want to do and have kind of laid groundwork for the past 20 years on.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is it really took, I'm grateful for this year. No disrespect to anybody that lost family, blah, 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 et cetera. I'm personally grateful for this year because it gave me the runway to now have these other incomes that can last me through my time touring. And I think that's great. And a lot of us are in this position. Other people have taken a different track where they've just left music as a serious thing and are doing more career stuff in other ways that they don't intend to go back to touring, and that's fine too. But it is for me, am I excited to get back? Yeah, I'm starting to get, I'm starting to get a little antsy.
That's a rare thing. It's good. It's good for you to espouse that. That's good. I'm excited to hear that. And I mean, we're still talking 9 months out.
Right. Yes, but as I say about everything, comes faster than you think. You know what I mean? I'm excited. I'm excited to release new music. I'm excited to record some new music. I got some self-defense stuff to record soon. So I'm pretty excited about the next year. And we've talked endlessly about if we expect people to be excited or not. I don't think there can be any mistake moving forward with the vaccine. People are excited. People want to be out. And I'm basing that on the fact that LA could not get all this stuff going on Twitter where people are yelling at each other for going out. Yo, there's nobody in LA that gives a shit about that. Like, I hate to break it to our listeners that spend all day on Twitter yelling at other people for their COVID like decorum. I'm not making a judgment on this. I'm just telling you what I'm observing. my building is having multiple parties a week. Like there's nobody cares about that because they reached their limit. And again, I'm not telling, if you're a person that's lost somebody to COVID or you just take it very seriously for your own health, I'm not taking a side on whether in this argument, I'm not taking a side. I'm just telling you that like people hit their limit. So I think that once you tell them, hey, not only do you not have to not go out, you don't have to pretend to not go out and then like pretend to feel bad about it or any of that stuff. People are going to fucking go to shows like crazy. I really think that COVID bad. Next few years, COVID may have put a shot in the arm of live music.
Tom, I had a question for you.
And I have a question for you.
I'd say you've taken COVID pretty serious, both for yourself as well as all the other people in your life and just in general. Say you get a vaccine, let's say mid-February, just throwing a date out there, just whatever. I have no idea what these timelines are. No one knows, whatever. Slowly but surely we'll roll out. But let's say February.
And my MacBook only uses Windows programs and stuff, right? Because Bill Gates is... Got it.
Yeah. the microchips inserted. You get the chips inserted February. When would you feel, and then say by midsummer, we're looking at like, hey, you know, it looks like statistics, 75% of the United States has been vaccinated. What is your date where you feel, let's say by June 30th, so July 1st, 75% of the US has been vaccinated. You cozy going to shows in July, August, September?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think, the biggest point for me is, I mean, I'll go to a show fucking March 1st. If they can say, you get this vaccine on February 15th, and they can tell you that, you know, you're not going to be able to transmit it to anyone else. Like, I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about, like... Don't be an idiot going to see going to see Drug Church and then taking it home and like, you know, I go see my family for something and I give it to somebody who's not in the best of shape or whatever, who's older. That's what I'm more worried about. So like if they could say like, if you get this, you cannot like asymptomatically transmit it to anyone else, then fucking shoot me up and fucking give me a mind force pit. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah, let's hit the
pit. You know what I mean? Like, then it's not like, then there's no like, there's no time frame as much as like, I just wish there was more, like they had more information in terms of like the transmissions and stuff like that. That's my biggest concern.
Yeah. Yo, that shit is so insane. Sorry. I don't want to make this a COVID podcast, but did you see the new studies out on that say like credible studies, not my lunatic studies, credible studies.
Saying like one YouTube page.
No.
Do your research.
No. It's like Journal of Medicine. It's like real shit, but it's like no asymptomatic spread found. Like, yo, if that's true, like if that proves true, it's two studies that indicate that right now. But if that's true, what is this thing? What has been going on? Like, how insane is this?
I mean, I think, like, you know, and I totally understand. To me, I think it's like, this is the first time that something like this has come up that like you have to have an answer immediately. Like when there was fucking polio or the other different flus and all sort of stuff, the entire world wasn't like, yo, B, wrap it up, man. I gotta go.
Pins and needles. Like, hey, did you get the answer already? Let's go.
Or there weren't naysayers. Like, so it's kind of like, you know, like if you went back and and read about, you know, the fucking early influenza kind of vaccines and stuff, I guarantee you, you'd find similar stuff that it was like totally fucked up on that one. Here's what's the real, you know what I mean? Like there's so much pressure.
Sure. It's just revision. It's revision after revision.
And also anyone takes any sort of change as like, you see, they're lying the whole time, which is psychotic.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's so I don't, again, sorry for everybody that doesn't want to hear us talk about COVID, but the CDC has been really clear about future outbreaks that like based on this experience that step one is clearly conveying to the public what is known and what is unknown, because this one taught us that everything that you allow doubt on becomes like conspiracy minded fodder.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Like everything that you are not perfectly honest about is just something. blows up in your face later when people go, you lied to me the first time. Why the fuck would I listen to you? And then you have to go, well, we weren't really lying. We didn't know. And we kind of guessed, or we stretched the truth a little, or whatever it is. But people, by that time, they're already sold on their own version of events, you know? So it's like such a mess.
And people I had like a close person to me who was like, you know, how come they were talking about this 3 years ago? I was like, well, I mean, there's places around the world that like their entire jobs is to be ahead of this sort of stuff. So like, they know, you know what I mean? Like there's a place on fucking Long Island that has like everything. Like if something happened there, we would all die.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or, are they going to say it? Yes, vegan and veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. You can get chef prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring, maybe gardening. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. That is the type of meal I prefer. They're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. Now, I'd like you to head to factormeals.com/axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. And use code axetogrind50. That's numeral 50. To get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's insane. That's code AXTOGRIND50 at factormeals.com/AXTOGRIND50. That's to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Crazy.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast.
Because, like, they have right, everything. Yeah. Like, every strain of, like, anything that exists, they have. Because they're trying to test, you know, vaccines against it. So... Cold Harbor, it's called Cold Spring Harbor. Like they literally have everything.
Tom, stop sharing this valuable information with our more.
I mean, I learned about it in college. It wasn't that cool.
Well,
not like I read. Like you know, all the hardcore kids were the OG conspiracy theorists, and now it's coming back to roost. Everyone read fucking Behold the Pale Hearts. Everyone thought they were like on some shit.
Oh, no, Jesus Christ!
And now everyone, you know, everyone's like. YouTube, I blame Dwid.
So
now we all got
do your own research, man. So.
I won't reveal this. We might have a listener in this town, but I was in a large city taking an Uber, and a guy says, we start talking about where he's from. He's from like, you know, 100 miles outside that city. And he says, yeah, it's most people don't know it. He's like, I'm not supposed to say this. It's where Google has the majority of their server farms. If you live there, if you work there, it's understood in the town that that's what people go to work because nobody's keeping a secret from their family. But the workers are explicitly asked not to reveal the nature of their job at all because it's that sort of thing where should there be an attack on this particular place, then the functionality of the internet just drops by 30%. And it's like, you know, like you got to think about what that means for finance. You got to think about what that means for medicine. Like, sorry, this is very not hardcore, but there's a side effect to everything. And obviously that is the effect if you were to do a terrorist attack, but you saw it with that, that AT&T bombing, on Christmas, right? That shut down 911 for nine hours
in Nashville. Yo, like a real big step.
Yeah.
That's a problem. Yeah,
that's right. Yes. Major metropolis, folks.
Problem. By the way, what do you guys, sorry, we'll get back to hardcore momentarily. Nashville versus Memphis. Where would you rather live?
Good question. Grit and grind, baby. Throw me in Memphis.
Yeah, I think I'd go to Memphis too. Nashville seems a little too like everything is like just like it seems too Disney World. Like you can like walk, you're walking down Main Street and there's just guys like playing fucking, you know,
honky tonk. Yeah, like country. I will say I have a buddy who moved down there and was, you know, largely in the punk world, basically punk emo world, and got a job doing sound at one of those country places. And he seems very happy.
Oh, Nashville seems great too, but I feel like Memphis.
Yeah, but no, I agree. I think I'm more of a Memphis dude. United Record. Exactly. Fuck yeah, man. I'm all in on that. United Record Pressing, which is in Nashville, is a fascinating place. If you get a chance to visit there, I don't just show up, but if you ever get a chance to go visit there, it's amazing because they have, you know, I think I may have talked about this at one point, but I went on a tour there and stopped in and I pressed a lot of records there. So my lady Beth was happy to give me the tour, and they had some of the places where black performers would actually stay at the record pressing plant because the hotels in Nashville wouldn't let them stay there. So they'd come perform at these venues and then they weren't allowed to stay in any of the hotels. So the record, and they actually had like, okay, here's, and it was set up exactly how it was, all the original stuff. Wow. So it's kind of fascinating. You get to see the whole process. Yeah, it was cool. So maybe we'll do a, once we can, we'll do an Axe to Grind weekend in Nashville. But if you get me, I'm walking in Memphis all day, every day.
I don't remember the lyrics after that.
Walking in
some
Memphis.
Some feet off. Half a
feet. 10 feet off.
Mark yeah. something. Mark.
Pretty good, guys.
Hey, man. You can give that one a whirl in the next Drug Church recording. So wait, let's start. So 2021, you had a question, please.
So
please.
In terms of like, we're talking about like the glut of pressing plants and stuff like that, something that I've read on the internet, and you can tell me if this is true or not, or there are other conspiracy theorists. It has the current situation created a black market for blank t-shirts, sweatshirts, etc. Or like a secondary market per se, like that is.
Oh,
like kind of like I'll buy these 50 comfort colors for $5 and I'm going to sell them to you for $7.50.
Oh, I mean, look, there's people who've been running those games for a while, but it's highly frowned upon. But I, so the easy answer is yes. The weird answer is that the problem with that is it's causing shortages at the distributor level. For example, there's a couple of distributors I prefer that I work with because they have good distribution centers. And if I want to go pick them up, I can go pick it up and I can do sample orders, whatever, whatever. That when I was looking for a couple pieces that are not uncommon, that they were out, not just in the local distribution facility, but nationally, like they were out. And if you wanted to get pieces, you're going to have to order. And some of those were backed up.
Right. I mean, the rich part of it, found out about it. I've read it mostly from those bootleg accounts. They're like, we're backed up. Like, I don't have access to the blanks. So like, it's going to take longer than you're expecting. Stop emailing me just because there's like a shortage everywhere. Yes. So do you think people just like were like, fuck it, I'm going to buy while I can, and the
so this is the crazy. Oh my God. This is okay. Yeah. This is cool. All right. And we could probably get some people who are actually, you know, front lines. I'm just kind of a parachute on this one. But there is a shortage because it has been harder to get the goods from other countries, and it has been harder. There was a shutdown at some of these places where the garments were actually being manufactured. Think about how many shirts are made every day across the country, across the world, whatever. The U.S. is a huge consumer of apparel, huge, like unbelievably so, especially of the t-shirt variety. Imagine what happens if Gildan and their production facilities in Mexico, Guatemala, etc., shut down for 2 weeks.
There's no catching up.
Or a month. It's all backed up. It's jacked up. And then what happens is the same thing as the empty grocery store. People go and buy all the toilet paper. Do you need 18 rolls of toilet paper for the next month and a half? No, but what if it's 5 months? Maybe I will then. So what happens is some of these places end up buying more blanks than they thought they might need. And then others have a surplus because all of a sudden their business is gone. You know what I mean? So it's this weird balance. One of the last shops that I worked at, when it came to black t-shirts, we always kept on hand like 5 pallets of black t-shirts at all times.
Basically. I mean, that's like standard.
For that size shop, it was. Some shops are way more. Like some shops are going through 5 to 10 pallets of black t-shirts every week.
Right.
Some are going through 3 pallets a day, and some are going through a pallet every month. And many order on a as needed basis, and maybe they keep a couple boxes around just in case.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But especially when it comes to some of the more specialty stuff, Comfort Colors is a great example. There was shortages, and then at the distributor levels, like for the order I was trying to place, I was having to basically split it up across 2 distributors and get some shipped.
Wow.
You know, like it was like physically impossible to get all the sizes in the color I wanted from one. So I had to go to 2, and then one of them, the only way to get this size was having it shipped. It was kind of bonkers.
That's nuts.
But that is real. It's a lot like all this stuff. Like, I mean, you guys may or may not know this, but you walk into a Target and you still can't totally get like Clorox wipes. You know what I mean? Like it still looks like breadline Russia.
But I mean,
you know,
is that
like, it's
people still hoarding weird. Them or just like the supply chain being fucked?
Both. There's people who bought early and have,
right,
you know,
or they're hoarding them for like hospitals and medical situations.
Well, and then a lot of them got rerouted to that
lane, there's not an ounce of controversy in what I'm going to say. This is every study, not just like, hey, there's 2 new studies that say this is every study. There is no surface transmission of COVID-19. You do not need those Lysol wipes, et cetera, are doing nothing for you that they wouldn't normally do. And all they're really doing is putting you in danger of creating a super bug like super gonorrhea moving forward. Everybody get off the fucking Lysol wipes now. Go look it up if you have any doubt about what I'm saying. Everybody at the top of their field says there is no surface transmission whatsoever. We would have been very fucked if there was surface transmission.
Yes. We would have been if there was serious surface transmission, it would have been completely insane.
Some people hear
regardless,
that.
That's more. I'm speaking only to supply and demand and what's.
I know. I just jumped in on Lysol wipes because
you had triggered, right? Jesus, dude.
I was. Yeah.
All right. So. So yes. Now I will say, Tom, also kind of to put the bright smiley, and we've been saying this, you know, there's a lot of good bootleg shirts
very
out there
good
right now.
And some are pretty terrible.
Yeah, some are terrible. Some are good. And there was some conversation recently about that. How do you guys feel about bootleg culture? Like, let me pose it to you both this way. Patrick first, then Tom. Patrick, there's somebody bootlegged a self-defense shirt and no approval, and just we're selling it. Would you be bummed? Would you be whatever, nonplussed? Tom, same question for you. Someone bootlegs an Indecision shirt. Would you be bummed? It's both, by the way, look good.
I mean, honestly, someone I knew did.
That's funny.
Who, Trustkill Records?
No! A friend of ours, this dude, I mean, I don't give a shit. I'll put his name out there. I don't give a fuck. This dude, Billy from Daytona. He did like the straight ahead sweatpants and all that shit. One day, like, I was like, I should see what he has. And he had an indecision. I was like, oh shit. I didn't say anything. I don't give a fuck. If it's out there, like, you know, like, if it's your bread and butter and that's how you make money, then I can understand being upset. I mean, it was a design of ours. Like, I'm down with like the bootleg culture, that kind of like what Clumsy does. Are you familiar? I don't want to say the dude's name just in case it's illegal. he like takes an idea from the band and makes it. It's like, I'm not as stoked on like, you know, hey, remember that 1989 Metallica tour shirt? Well, now you can have it on six different colorways of comfort colors. I think that's kind of corny.
Yeah.
But I don't mind like the kind of artistic endeavors that people would like indecision.
There's a creativity to it.
Yeah. So, like, Indecision's doing, like, a run with a company that, like, approached us and was like, you know, we'll do it for charity. I was like, done, 100%. And, you know, they're like, just send us some stuff and we'll take, you know, like, we'll come up with some ideas. I'm like, that's kind of cool. Like, I just don't want, I could send you fucking five shirts from 1998. But, like, then, I don't know. But if you're going to come back and be like, here's five new options of, like, stuff that we wouldn't have come up with ourselves, like, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and like if you like the work they've done before, different ideas, it's cool. Yeah. Patrick, what about you? Give any fuck if someone bootlegged a Self-Defense Family shirt, no permission, just did it?
It's my strong preference that if you're going to steal from me, then you give the money to a good cause. But as I can't prove that you did one way or the other, I guess go with God. It's nothing that I feel very strongly about, to be totally frank, but if it's something that I might put back into print, like we get asked for those, Garfield and Snoopy shirts all the time.
Yeah.
If I put Snoopy back into print, or if I have plans to put Snoopy back into print and somebody gets it in their mind, hey, I can probably move 100 of these relatively quick. I'm just going to do it. Fuck the band. I might be a little peeved, but then again, I might just make a shirt making fun of their shirt, meta context, sell 100 of those. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're all in the kind of, there's a preference to nah,
yeah,
especially if you make yourself accessible and out there. But I also like, I'm totally co-sign. I like seeing some of the creativity. I don't mind some of the reprint shirts if they're done well. If you're going to do a reprint shirt, you better do it well.
Right, that's fair.
Ooh. But and I've also seen a ton of badly.
The photo that's supposed to be. I'm like, this looks like it's like fucking not Basquiat. Who's the like Jackson Pollock put this, like, there's a few that I've gotten in the mail. Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, some are fucking fantastic.
Yeah. All right. Throwing this one on the bottom of the pile.
Yeah, like I'm wearing this under something. OK.
Yeah.
There's a fine line also on. Intellectual property theft when it comes to art, and I'm talking about visual art. Like, for example, the kind of shirt that I would be most interested in wearing is a shirt that is a quick run of 50 of a shirt of a flyer that of a show I would go to.
Yeah.
But if the flyer's cool, somebody drew that. You know, and do I feel the need to track that person down and give them money? No, I personally don't, but maybe somebody would suggest that I do. Although I'm looking at flyers from the 90s right now. What a terrible era for flyers. Truly terrible. I'm looking
some
at
peaks and a lot of valleys, though. Lot of valleys.
God.
Well, so here's let's talk about that for a second since we're in flyer. A whole swath. So there's the Syracuse style flyer, right? The
McCaig, very clear, one photo.
Right.
The facts.
I like that exists. It is not visually stimulating other than to see the consistency. Right.
You know where that show is.
Correct. And the fact that they did it and it was so strident and, you know, like some of the band's records feature that kind of text. It was cool because of that. Otherwise, visually, it is as dry as a bone. You know, it's nothing. But yeah, like, and I think that you get a weird mix of photocopiers are readily available and people are cutting stuff up and can do shit, but not everyone's a Picasso. And sometimes that works because you're not a Picasso and sometimes it doesn't. And then you get the wave of it's 1994 and I have a computer. Let me do this. And then that led to some bad ones.
And then there were some, I mean, in the early 2000s, like, but some were great. Like some of the AN, like Linus would come up, like it was like its own artwork for that one show. And they 100%. Were fucking amazing.
I mean,
like,
yo, incredible. Right. I mean, the fact like, you know, there's that one, there's a Linus flyer that Shelter ended up stealing and using as a record cover.
Oh shit. Really?
Yeah. It was a flyer. I think it was one that you sent, I think a Damnation flyer or something, but it's like, it's a Linus illustration, it's a kid and it's a bunch of people, maybe one of the kids holding like a chain or something, I don't know, but it's a really cool image and Shelter just took it and used it as a record cover. So I think that got settled out, so no shade anywhere here, but that stuff's always funny to me. I don't know when the last I think post 1991, I think you just get a real mixed bag of flyers. The 2000s, there were some really good waves and there was people who were doing really cool stuff. And then some that were tough. And then in the modern era, there's a lot of shows that are just digital only. And that's okay. Except then you also lose some of that tangible feel. And then when they're digital only, they start to go kind of really far askew. And sometimes that works really well. And sometimes it's like, oh, this doesn't, I don't even know what to do with this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think, I mean, I wonder if like, because the 80s, I mean, I wonder because like each, you know, California had Pettibon. Like,
yep.
So of course, all the fucking, you know what I mean?
All those Black Flag flyers are classic.
I mean, yeah, they're as iconic as any t-shirt.
Yeah, no question. I mean, yo, someone could make, never mind. I won't say that out loud. We'll go from there.
But I mean, even like New York, I don't know who was like the go-to flyer person, but even like the Rock Hotel flyer, they used that one template, but like they used it for Motorhead, they used it for fucking Warzone, they used it for Bad Brains, they used it for like, there's something to be like the I kind of like the uniformity of it.
That consistency. Yep. There's in the early 80s, there's the guy Kevin Crowley, who was the singer of The Abused. He did a series of flyers. And if you're ever interested, you can see a lot of them. He actually numbered them, which is fucking cool.
He created the New York
Arbor late 80s. That's exactly right. And in the late 80s, you had all these dudes doing different stuff, whether it's like that Altercation flyer, the side-by-side flyer with the skins moshing. They started using like cool live shots on flyers that I think worked really well. There were some really well done hand-drawn flyers and some really poorly done ones.
They were still charming.
You started seeing graffiti influx on a lot of flyers, both in New York and going down to like DC. You know, there's when flyers had a style, it was cool. It's a weird thing to say as someone who's made a bunch of flyers. It's almost like you should have a signature to what you're doing if you're doing a flyer. So we can learn from that Syracuse thing. If he did one of those flyers, it would be completely insignificant other than for the one show. And it's like, okay, whatever. The fact that it was just an aesthetic and they still use that, it's awesome.
I mean, even
it's association.
Like the Knocked Loose record release show in Louisville did their flyer as a tribute to the Syracuse shows. You know, picture on top, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, the same font, the same, like, instead of being like the fucking Lost Horizon, it was headline, you know what I mean? Like, it was note for note, like, perfect version of it. And, like, I can't tell you how many people, you know, 32 and above were like, oh shit, that's just like a Syracuse flyer. They thought it was an old show.
Well, I mean, and that's cool. So shout out to aesthetics. Yeah. How do we get to flyers? Where do we come to flyers?
I was talking about shirts that he would wear that had flyers on them.
Oh, that's right.
And then we talked about Linus's, like how some flyers are garbage, but then some are like their own artwork.
Shout out to Linus. What an
unbelievable
artist.
I have him tattooed on me.
Oh, the an and tattooed, thing, right? Yeah. So, I mean, shows, we're thinking early fall.
I hope so.
Yes.
That's the hope. I think we should all be hopeful for that. Records. I think there will be a backup at the pressing plants, but, you know, a lot of these people kind of figure this out. And also, like yo, a quick pump the brakes. The world of punk and hardcore is the one that is most, and subculture, underground music is the one that's most tying pressing records to active touring. It's not like the Phoebe Bridgers record is not getting pressed if she's not going on tour. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh yeah, we'll press more of those. Those are selling. The pressing plants are big enough that they can handle a pretty sizable influx of business. So I'm not too worried about that. And by the way, tons of smaller record pressing plants popping up all over the U.S. Very interesting and cool.
Now, here's my question.
I'm pretty curious about that.
This is ignorance on my part. Isn't there a dearth of pressing plants just because, like, the machinery doesn't exist, or is it just because it's so expensive that nobody wants to get into it?
When vinyl started to come back, they started producing new record presses about a
But it had stopped, correct?
That was true for a long 100%. Okay, wow. The only way to get vinyl, to get record pressing equipment, was to buy it secondhand. Probably, I mean, they probably stopped manufacturing it sometime in the 80s, if not
like once
before.
The CD hit.
Once the CD hit and really took hold. And I mean, even before that, you know, cassettes were phasing in. They were looking for other alternatives because they realized, hey, we might be able to make a medium that's cheaper and easier and more portable, to be quite honest. So yeah, there will be a glut of records. Think about that if you're an aspiring band and trying to get your shit out there. What are you excited for? What are there any specific records that you are excited to hear in 2021? One Step Closer record.
I'm stoked really for that. I'm stoked to hear the Anxious stuff. I'm
stoked to hear the Akulu record.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, apparently that's close to being done or done.
Not totally sure. Very, very. Yeah.
Like it's definitely in the, it's once stuff happens, it'll be ready to go from what I know. I don't know much.
That's sick. I think I'm thinking about it right now, 'cause I'm wearing the Streets of Hate hoodie. Pretty sure they have a couple vinyl records coming out. Their first vinyl releases.
Yes.
I think they're doing a Pain of Truth split. Is that right?
I believe so. Yeah. I was talking to
Pain of Truth, Age of Apocalypse, maybe?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. Yes, that's right, because Jack had mentioned. Yep.
And Patrick, you've got some records. Oh, so this is what I want to ask. New Military Gun, I'm excited for that. I think people are going to look at how they release records a little differently, given everything. And I think that's interesting. I think it's going to be kind of exciting. Like, records, by the way, this year was a boon year for record labels. Like, if you were putting records out, they were selling pretty well for the most part, which was surprising to everyone. But because people were at home,
not paying to go to shows,
perhaps
not
able
to go
to
shows.
Yep. Buying records became something they did. Do we foresee that extending into 2021?
Yes.
Yeah. I do.
I think this has taught people to really appreciate stuff. I don't know how long that'll last.
You're right.
But I think for the first
it'll run out eventually, for sure.
I mean, like, as soon as, like, the Drug Church tour gets announced, it's going to be, like, sold out everywhere just because people are going to be fucking psyched. I would think.
Cool.
One record that I'm very excited, if 2021, if
please,
Fiddlehead.
Yeah. Talk about a record that's being sat on.
It's there.
Oh, yeah. How long has that been done for?
Long time. So consider this a little subtle push. Get that record out. Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned it last episode, the band World Peace has an LP coming out on 12 Gauge in March. I'm excited for that. I'm pretty sure that a grip of the bands who we talked about on our year-end lists have new music
Love
coming
it.
out. pretty sure Regional Justice Center has a new record coming out. And there's going to be, it's going to be a lot. And this is just the stuff we know about, new Pillars of Ivory material coming out.
Yep.
So, you know, it is going to be kind of a crazy time once we actually start to see stuff rolling, you know? So
can I plug something?
I don't know.
I'm not
Please,
a plug.
Plug. I mean, it's,
So, you know how SOS does the, like the Sunday, like live set stuff and interviews and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So the Sunday of when this gets released, Somerset Thrower is doing a live set.
So it's nice.
Somerset and Angel Dust, which is kind of awesome. That's what, so yeah, Justice had said that he was doing a set the same day. But I went and watched them. Spoiler alert, those things aren't live when the bands aren't local. This week I went out, Audley from Incendiary and I went out and hung out with those dudes and watched them. Like, they did the full new record. They're only using six songs for the live set, and then they recorded other stuff just to have. But it was awesome. I got to do the song with them. It was super cool to do. But that's on the 11th, really, I think, which is, no, maybe not 10th, whatever that Sunday is in January, it is the 10th. So it's on Twitch.
So it's coming right up. So keep it up. Yeah. So I appreciate that they've done that.
Yes. It's awesome. I think it's super cool. It's one of the only times it's introduced me to Twitch, not to sound like I'm 98 years old.
Yo, Patrick and I were talking about this before. How much of our audience has Twitch, do you think? Give us a percentage.
I'm saying like 25%.
Patrick?
Nah, I'd go 20, but that might...
Lower than you'd think.
Both higher... it's higher than I would think, because I would think it's like that... Because think about it. If you're on Twitch, you're probably young, so that splits our audience in half, as our audience is like half young, half old. And then so you split that number in half, and then you split the number of young people in half even more by saying, okay, are you on this specific platform that is used primarily for video game streaming? What if their interest isn't video games, et cetera, et cetera? So like I would say that the number of, I would say if it's 20%, I would say that's actually really much higher than most audiences.
Yeah, I think probably in that 20 to 30%. I think you guys are right on. I actually agree. So shout out. We're loose and breezy. I hope everybody is enjoying it. Before we go, I wanted to do a quick game. Tom, I know you're familiar with this. Patrick, do you know the number that you typically play to when you play pickup basketball one-on-one?
21, 11? I don't know.
Oh, that was good. No, 11. Yeah, 21 or 11. Yeah, that's good. We're going to do first to 11. Are you guys up for a little game?
Oh, no.
Ooh, maybe.
Spotify monthly listener game.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Hit me.
Yeah, this is an easy one. All right, guys. 25 to life.
Are we doing a...
how many monthly listeners?
Was that? I was going to see if you were going to do like
how we do this.
Above or below...
Oh no, it's too close. Just do the guess. You have to count. You have to be within. No, whoever's closest. It's just going to be whoever's closest.
Above or higher or lower.
Above or whoever's closer. Yeah, because some of these will be. You know, this is a very tough game for the uninitiated first time listener. Spotify lists the monthly listeners for bands. We have no idea. It is shocking to everyone when you hear these numbers sometimes, because sometimes it's super low and sometimes it's like, oh my God, how that many people listen every month. So.
Yeah. And everybody, we know Spotify is evil, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Us talking about the Spotify numbers isn't to indicate the value of a band, nor is it to advocate for Spotify, which is a soulless tech platform, just like all the others. They're all trying to fuck you. Get your head on your shoulders. But it's a game.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
All right, so, Pat, you go first.
We're not that concerned. Yeah, Pat picks first. The band is 25 to life.
36,000.
Okay.
36,000, did you say?
Yes.
Fuck. No. I'm going to say this is higher than I would think it would be, but I feel like there's enough people out there that are still living that life. I'm going to say 10,000.
Tom, you are so much closer. It is 13,535.
That is a criminal number. Everybody get out there.
Stop.
Get out there.
Get out of here. All right. We may have done this one at some point. By the way, Tom is up 1-0. Winner ball out. So, Tom, you go first here. Mad ball.
See, there I would think – I mean, I look at these because I always find it kind of interesting.
Super.
And, like, even just to see, like, who – you know, there's bands that you're like, what the fuck? For them – They're big across the world. Usually these bands fall in like the high five figures. So I'm going to say, 90,000.
Okay. Patrick.
I agree with Tom. These bands usually do fall in the high five figures. I'll take the under though with 75.
Oh, wow. Okay. Patrick ekes it. Oh, no.
Fuck.
Holy shit. Okay. I had already moved off of it. It's 83,430, which I believe
I'm closer.
That Tom gets it. Yeah. Tom gets it. Very good. Scam. Good job.
Scam.
Scam. Get the hell out of here.
I feel like there's like this like box that all of those bands, not those, yeah. Like
you're 100% right. Like, Sick of It All, Madball, Agnostic Front.
They all fit in that kind right of there. And then there's like the Knocked Loose that do like 150, 200,000 or whatever, but.
Okay. Civ. Tom. Winner ball out.
Oh, man. Fuck. I'm going to say 10,000.
Okay. Patrick.
10? I'm so 10.
Games are so fun.
All right. I'll take the over on that and say 50.
Tom is closer. It's 21,257. So you just went too high.
This is ludicrous. I don't even agree with this.
What, math?
I don't agree with this.
All right, so let's stay in the circle. Tom is up 3-0. Easy. Yeah, he's raining from
Pat,
deep.
Build
Gorilla Biscuits.
Built different, man.
That's true.
Built different. Gorilla Biscuits. Tom, winner ball out.
Gorilla Biscuits. I think they fall in that same fucking same category. And Manbull had what? 83?
83,000.
GB or Manbull? It's fucking tough.
It is really tough.
Who's And I also think like I check the indecision one all the time and I think it ebbs and flows.
Sure.
So yeah. I think Gorilla Biscuits right now I'm going to say is ebbing, and I'm going to say it's 75,000.
Okay, Patrick?
65,000.
You guys are splitting the difference. I'm going to call it a tie because it's 70,000 and change. So that one doesn't count. But 70,000 and some hundreds. So technically Tom wins, but it's too close. You guys split it. Patrick, you get to go first. Tom is still up 3-0.
Oh, I don't get that. Can he get one and I get one and we'll be 4-1?
No, because you're already up 3-0. This is extending the game. Minor Threat.
My go? Quit. Okay, quit, fine.
Go.
95,000.
Tom.
No, it's got to be bigger than that. I'm saying 150?
235,580.
Holy good fuck.
Good day, man. All right. So 4-0 Tom. Tom, ball
good
out.
For fucking eight.
Black flag. Yeah.
Black flag. And what was Minor Threat?
You know what Minor Threat is. 235, was it?
All right.
235.
Black flag is definitely bigger because I feel like people listen to Black Flag that don't like hardcore.
Sure. Yeah.
So 235. 310.
Okay. 310. Patrick, you know, Minor Threat's 235.
250.
Tom, you're up 5-0. Black Flag.
Fuck off.
411.
What? I did not expect almost a half a million people listening to Black Flag every month.
Listen, Tom and I are built different. He is a corporate shill working for the Spotify company.
I live in Sweden now.
I'm just a punker.
You're just a punker. All right. Well, let's give the punker a chance here, Tom. You're up 5-0. Sure. Just give him the pity out. All right, punker. Circle Jerks, what are their monthly listens? Black Flags, 411,000. Minor Threats, 235,000. Circle Jerks are?
Circle Jerks are a poser band for losers. If they have more fucking listens than Minor Threat, I'm ending the game with a gunshot. I'm going to say 200,000.
Tom.
And Minor Threat was 235?
Yes.
Yeah, it's definitely not 200. 135.
That means Tom is up 6-0. It's 157.91.
Yeah. You know what? I'm happy with that outcome.
All right. All right. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to stick. Let's stay punk, guys. Germs.
Germs.
Another poser band. Tom this is just making
first.
Me mad.
Tom goes first.
Just getting madder.
I feel like Germs are another one of those bands that are like outside of hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but a half a good song, consider that. Yeah,
that's all that matters. You got to listen to fucking one song.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's hear it.
Come on. 150.
Okay.
Patrick. 92. 92.
You pull it out. You're not going to shut up.
I'm coming back charging. Corporate time.
111. All right. It's 6-1, Tom, yes. Right now.
Means okay. Nothing.
6-1. Patrick got that layup. Winner? Question mark.
No, I was dunking against opposition.
Okay.
I was dunking with the big man in front of me. I went right over his head.
Dunking against all opposition. Let's do. Yeah. Earth Crisis, Patrick. This is in your wheelhouse. Let's go.
100,000. Boom.
Tom.
They're ebbing. I'm saying. 65.
47,969.
Wow. That hurts my heart a little bit.
It hurts my heart big time. What is this garbage?
All right. So Tom's up 7-1. in celebration of that one, Tom, you get to start. We're going to go to the 518 and talk about One King Down.
I feel like I've seen this relatively recently just because, like, I always look at, like, the – if you look up, like, whatever, your band, and then it's, like, people that sure. Like your band also – they everybody – it's
yeah,
the it's literally, like, sure, Bloodlet, sure. Snapcase, One King Down, 108. It's, like, all the bands that you would think would – I'm going to say, like, 15,000.
Patrick.
I'm going to go on the under on that and go 9.
Wow. It is 7-2, 9,289.
Wow. Oh!
Patrick hits a little floater in the lane.
the Allen Houston that like bounced around and hit every.
Yeah. All right. Let's do this. Is that a different One King Down picture? All right. Let's do Ringworm.
Whose go? Is it my go?
It's your go. Winner ball out. If you get the one, we gave you a couple pity ones, so I understand the confusion.
23,000.
Tom.
Ringworm. Fuck, I have no idea. I'm going to say 20.
I know, it's tough. Patrick almost nailed it exactly. It's 22,162.
See, that's shocking. So,
I mean, doubling up one. You know what? Long career.
So many records.
So many records. Records pretty recently. So they get that new record bump, sure. Right? So, and multiple records released during the streaming era. Helps.
Yes.
A lot.
Also, we don't like we consider like I guess like what the like the Promise era like there's like a classic era for hardcore kids, but you know they've had like you know a touring metal career for a number of years, not big rooms but big supports, that sort of thing.
Yep. All right, we'll stay in Cleveland. It's 7-3. Integrity. Patrick.
Integrity. I'm gonna go 62,000.
Tom.
I'm going to say 35,000.
Tom, you are up 8-3. It is 21,491.
Is that less than Ringworm?
I'm sorry. Say that again.
21,491.
Are there multiple Integrity accounts, or is there only one record on there?
It is their entire catalog.
That doesn't seem right.
It's extensive. They have it extensive. It seems shocking. Maybe the Integrity fans are just not, corporate shills for.
But there's more Ringworm listeners than Integrity.
Wow. No, it's mind-blowing. Right. Mind-blowing. I'll take it. Because that recent Integ Relapse record did pretty well. Like, it seemed well received.
I'll take the dub.
All right, guys, let's go over to 8-3. Two-word death threat, Connecticut.
This one's tough.
SDS.
Brotherhood.
Whose turn? Or who goes first?
Tom's winner ball out.
I'd say like 7,000.
Okay.
I'll take the over. I'll say 10 to be safe. I think it's probably 12, but I'll say 10 to be safe.
5,631.
What?
Tom is up 9-3.
Well, that's a crime too. There's a lot of crimes going on here.
A lot of crimes. You know what crime makes me think Scarhead? Of?
Tell me.
Scarhead.
Wow, Kings of Crime. Okay.
Tom, what's your guess?
I think they're another band that's kind of at some point they were probably in the five figures. I'm going to say like 6,500.
Patrick?
My optimism. See, Tom's winning by being a fucking cold ass cynic. I'm going to go 10.
It's 6,600. Jesus. Tom nailed it almost exactly. So is that 10?
Nine, three.
Okay. 9-3. All right. I'm going to change the flow here. Let's see.
Winner's ball out. Or are we going back to Pat?
No, you get the ball now, but we'll give it to Pat for like the last game, the last point for you. We'll give it to him. We'll let him. Let's do for something totally different. Totalitar. What are the Spotify listeners to Totalitar?
I mean, I feel like this is a strictly vinyl band.
A lot of vinyl listeners, a little bit of Scandinavia here, so Spotify, Scandinavia.
It's true. Even punks own iPhones.
Yes.
I'm going to say 3,000.
Okay. Patrick?
I'll take the under, 2,500.
By the narrowest of margins, Tom is up 10-3. It's 2,864. Wow.
Scam.
Really tight. Okay. Scam. And so it's 10-3.
Loses ball out. Next point wins for Tom.
Inepsy. Montreal Motorhead Rockers.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go 1,600.
1,600?
Yep.
Okay. Tom?
I feel like...
Big on patches, but are they big on streams?
I'm going to go like high four figures. Like I'll say 9,000.
Well, Tom, congratulations. You win. It was 6,650.
All right. Not that close, but all right. Thank you.
No, wow.
A couple banger tracks on there. Big hits in City Weapons and the winner off the first record. Who's next? 102,000.
I feel like that Not Dead Yet scene is pretty big.
Damn. Well, and it's just kind of, there's multi-generations there, that record. There's a borderline classics at this point. Guys, good job. That is one of the hardest games. I will say this. There's many games we play where I'm like, oh, I would do good. Spotify game, I would do fucking shit ass terrible. So,
you know what?
I don't ride you about your losses.
No, I'm not going to gloat. You know, it's a fun game that Tim and David did that. Like I would doubt, like, they go to like Setlist FM and they go like, what are the 10 most played songs by this band?
Oh, that's a good idea.
I was listening.
So we should steal that. We can steal it if we give them full credit.
Yeah, and I told them, I was like, that's a really cool idea. I don't know how much punk and hardcore would be on there, but like they would be like, you know, fucking whoever, you know, like Bruce Springsteen. Name the top 10 most played. So, I mean, and this is all like set list because it's all user generated. So it's not everything.
Yep.
But you'd be shocked.
Oh, but for some of those artists, it's shocking. Patrick, are you licking your wounds? You don't like losing.
I don't like, I don't like losing. I don't like being set up to lose by the scammery that just took place. But, you know, of course, I am a gracious loser in most respects.
I don't know if you're gracious.
I'm happy that Tom put one on the boards today. Good for him.
That sounds like a self-defense record coming, gracious loser.
Yeah, really. But the gracious is in like apostrophe, in like brackets.
It's in the up, down, like capital, lowercase letter thing. Gracious.
Right, with like the SpongeBob pointing. SpongeBob meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, yo, this was a fun one. Everybody enjoy this year. It's going to be better than the last.
Hope so.